Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly. Guys, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, you can't go wrong. Now, I love to read, but with me being on the go a lot, sometimes the best thing to do is to download an audiobook and let the audio tell me the story. Now, with today's podcast episode being about marriage, I recommend you download The Power of Prayer to Change Your Marriage by Stormy O. Martin. Stormy is one of my favorite authors because even when the book ends, the lessons that she has given you continue on. In this book, husbands and wives will learn how to pray about everything from communication breakdowns to struggles with finances to raising children and to finding healing and restoration within your marriage. So go on over to www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly for your free 30-day trial and download your free audiobook today. Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 41 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled An Oasis of Love. Pastor Billy and Lady Elite Tanisha Williams talk second chances in life, in love, and in God. First, I want to thank Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha for taking time out of their busy schedules to sit down with me and for you guys to get some of their wisdom. They have a lot of it. So between y'all friends, families, your jobs, running your church, and just trying to keep the spark alive in your marriage, you have a lot going on. So again, me, Corey, my listeners, we're truly grateful to have you guys here. So the reason I started the episode title with An Oasis of Love is because of the name of your ministry. So for my listeners that don't know, the name of their ministry and their church is Love Oasis Ministry. So I wanted to do their podcast titled Oasis, An Oasis of Love. So now I looked up the word oasis, and y'all probably already noticed because y'all probably did your research. I'm sure Pastor Billy probably flew to Greek and got the Greek meaning of the word and came back with it. But for my listeners, the word oasis came into English via Latin. Oasis is from ancient Greek, which in turn is a direct borrowing from Demotic Egyptian. The word for oasis in the later attested Coptic language, which is a descendant of the Demotic Egyptian, it means dwelling place. So again, oasis means dwelling place. And Merriam-Webster defines oasis as a fertile or green area in a region such as a desert. It also means something that provides refuge, relief, or a pleasant contrast. So in the short time that I've known Pastor Billy and in the years that I've known Tanisha, because we go back, I know that individually and together, you guys both represent and live the word oasis. And I'm sure that I speak for a lot of people, your flock, your friends, your family, when I say that when I'm around y'all, especially since February, they did a couples panel, me and Corey came down. But when I'm around y'all, you make me feel like I'm safe. So the words of wisdom that you guys have shared with me and others is definitely like water to someone who needs a satisfying drink. So every time I leave from talking to you guys, I feel satisfied and full. So now that I've done my introduction of y'all, I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself. So whoever can go first, but just give us a little background.
Okay, I am Tanisha Williams. I am a mother of five. My oldest is 20. Five should be 26 Monday. And our youngest is 14. We have four girls and one boy. I am a correction officer.
She came up in here looking like the police, though.
Going on 17 years. I am a very loving person. I always try to help, encourage, yes. and build up. I love to help women. And I have a passion, intercede for men.
Really?
Yes.
Where do you think, we'll get to you in a second, Pastor Billy. Lady Tanisha, but where do you think that comes from as far as the men? Because you hear so many women say, I have a passion for women. I have a passion for women. I have a passion for women. Yeah. Where does your passion for helping men come from?
See, my passion for women is to build them up in their self-esteem so that they will be good help meets for the man.
Say that
my
again.
My passion
okay.
for the man is because they are the head of the family.
Okay.
And the enemy attacks the head so that okay. he can tear down the family structure.
Okay.
The man carries the family on his shoulders.
Okay.
So he needs support from his wife. Mm. And a lot of women put more added stress to the added stress of just being a man.
Wow. And okay, wait, let me get, see y'all, this is what I, an oasis. She done filled me up already. I should have my pen and I'm the one doing the interview. But she just, okay. Pastor Billy, we're going to move on to you so I can recover while you give your intro.
Again, my name is Billy D. Williams.
The Billy D, y'all. The Billy D.
From a small town in Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
From Arkansas?
Yeah, born and raised.
You're a Republican or a Democrat? I'm just asking. I'm not messing with you.
Independent now. Independent now. Democrat. I mean, but.
I like that.
Father of five. No, I think I'm a father of many now, but I'm a father of five.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I love people. Mm-hmm. I can go back to a little kid, man, just me being around people, you know, no matter what color. God has blessed me to be a people's person, and I just love that. And so, you know, I love sports.
Okay.
Still trying to play. I love God most of all. And I think, I have an amazing wife that has allowed me to be me. And this journey of you know, me being great has a lot to do with her. And so her saying that she want to lift up men.
Okay.
She started with me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so I guess I've been the research on it. And so that's why I've called myself being great now because of her.
You know, I caught that real quick when you said, you call yourself trying to play sports, and she said, no, playing.
Oh, you heard me?
Yes. So I love that because you came right behind him like, no, this is what you're doing. You know what I mean? You know,
my biggest fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think every man is a fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we both need them, but men really need it.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And I know she's that.
That's how I feel about Corey. I say I'm his biggest groupie. Yeah. Yeah. Where you go, I'm going. You got to sing where? What time we got to go?
Hello.
Do I need to press my clothes?
Amen.
I mean, what?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Well, the
she's
other
doing one. The same.
I'm
don't,
coming
don't get it. Same thing.
I'm coming for support. Look, I'm coming for support, but I was half joking, half serious. I tell them all the time how when they would go out to sing, I was telling my daughter, I would purposely let him forget that he had something on him that he needed to hold. Mm-hmm. So when they came marching down that middle aisle, he had to lean over to me.
You're so funny.
And hand me the key. And I'm smiling. You better sing.
That's my man.
That's my all yeah. over. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think he said before I peed on his leg or something. You know how a dog marks it. Right there, all of it.
Yeah.
Marked it.
Mine. He's right. So but I love the support that you give because I'm like that with him. And I think I am trying very hard. I had said it. We interviewed a couple 2 weeks ago, and I said I'm really trying not to be a modern day Eve, where I can manipulate. We women can manipulate a situation because we know our husband, and we already come with a plan laid out when we know he's not going to agree with the plan, but because they want to make us happy or because they don't want to hear our mouths. But I love that. Just that little bit that you said showed me on a big scale how much you support Pastor Billy. Mm-hmm. So y'all just look like y'all have so much fun together. Y'all
all
just,
the time.
Just, yeah.
We really
I like
do.
Being around. I
yeah,
mean, y'all are an inspirational couple to other
couples.
I'm gonna say definitely.
Yes, we have a lot of fun together. It's just me. We don't need nobody. Absolutely. We don't need no help. We don't need. But the thing is, because we are friends.
Okay.
See, a lot of people, a lot of relationships, they're not even friends with their spouse.
Oh my goodness.
Because, okay, they might not have things in common. See, opposites attract, but they don't stay together.
I like that.
Likeness that keep you together.
Okay.
You know, and what, and in the beginning when we was, well, not the beginning, but when that little place where we had hell in our marriage.
Okay.
I ain't like some of the things he was doing.
Okay.
But I was missing my friend.
Oh, so even if it was, I have a friend that says that she's been friends with her husband for so long that she said, God forbid, if something were to happen to the marriage, she would miss her friend.
Yes.
So that's how you was feeling, that you would miss your friend. Okay.
So I'm going to go and see what he's doing. Yeah. So I sacrifice.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't like.
Okay.
And
okay.
To go just to be with my friend.
Okay.
And let's try to like what he's doing.
Because you would do that for a girlfriend sometimes.
Right.
So why not?
Because I want to be with you.
Okay. Okay.
So it has to be selfless.
Okay.
It's not about me. It's about my friend. So I'm going to go see what he like to do and spend time with him. And then that brings us back together.
Wow.
Even sometimes I would go to sleep while he's doing whatever he's doing.
And that comes from, you know, even though she did do that, mainly because I was selfish.
Okay.
And I didn't understand. You know what I mean?
So you didn't understand that you were being selfish, or you didn't understand why she felt the way
no,
she felt?
I didn't understand that... that we need. I need to play. I need her to play a part in what I do. So,
oh, okay.
So, and it stemmed back from. I never had no one to support me in every none I did.
Okay.
So what happened is, as I grew up, I didn't have that mother support. I didn't have no father support. I didn't have no one to go to my games. I had no one, none of that. And so, me being a great player and everything I did, I had no support. So when I became an adult, I did whatever I wanted to do. Didn't care if she came because I was used to not having support.
It's because you knew you had to get the job done regardless.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so
okay.
It became the selfish part, and then her part is she wants to be involved. You know what I mean? She wants to know. So when I learned how to make her involved, I stopped doing it. Now, really, I did because no, in reality, I did because my want to didn't want to no more.
So say that again. Okay, your want to didn't want to anymore. Okay,
the things
I like
I wanted
that.
To do alone, I didn't want to do that no more.
Okay,
because I had someone that really meant something to me, want to be a part of what I'm doing. So it just I grew out of it.
Okay, okay.
You understand? I mean, I know my wife understands.
No, no, no. I understand exactly what you're saying. Okay,
so it became meaningless to me. You know, in a
okay.
sense.
Okay,
because it really wasn't important. What's important is that whatever I do, I make her involved.
Okay, regardless of how, whether it really meant, I know what you meant a lot to you or not, but you knew her supporting you meant a lot to her.
Absolutely. So,
okay.
For instance, I coached 18 years, long time. Out of the 15 years I coached, okay, let's go, since we've been together.
How long have y'all been together?
We've been together 14 years.
14, okay.
15.
Out
of the 14 years we've been together, 11 of those years I coached.
Yeah.
And so I'm going up and down the road with these kids, teaching them,
yeah.
You know, bringing them up. So I did that. And I did that mostly, but I never made her involved in what I was doing. My last year of coaching, which I didn't know was my last year of coaching, I made her involved because I cared. I wanted to know what she wanted. She wanted to know what I wanted. So she was involved. She became a team. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was my
I was going to say, did you see a difference?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
okay,
then,
okay.
You know, we strategized.
So
we made
fun.
Things work. And it was wonderful. Then God called me the pastor.
But it was over.
But it was like he almost had to make y'all a team first before
absolutely.
You became a team over
Look
a coach.
Yeah,
he made
absolutely.
Y'all a team before you became coaches.
Absolutely. So what eventually what happened was I began to pastor my team.
Mm.
And she was helping me do it.
Yep.
Wow.
And then God said, now you're ready. And so that's how we got kind of
mm,
got
I like that.
Mm-hmm. But
because he used to put basketball before everything.
Okay.
So
okay.
It made me resent it.
Okay, right, because it's like this, it's almost like the mistress,
yes.
the basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Jesus, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and I love sports. That what we had that alike when we first got together. I played every sport he played except for football.
Okay.
You okay. know, so that, but then you ain't even put me in it. What the? This is not going right.
So a life is opposite attract, but a life is what keeps you together.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Even our likeness spread us apart.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But because the foundation of our likeness, that's what brought us back together.
Together, because mm-hmm. you had a foundation. And it is so crazy that you said that y'all were friends, because a lot aren't friends. I don't know if I said it on a podcast. I don't know if I said it to a girlfriend, but I said, now people are at the age where their kids are getting older, so now they can go out or whatever. For me and Corey, when we moved to Maryland, and all our family was here, our kids were smaller, so we would have to drive them all the way to Jersey in order for us to go out together. So I made girlfriends up there because I'm the outgoing one. So we were like two ships passing in the night. We had two cars. He go to the gym. I'm on my way home from work. I'm at the gym. He's home. So we never really spent time together. And I said, now when people are saying, hey, let's go, I'm like, I really enjoy spending time with him. And it just dawned on me that because we're after 16 years being married, we are just now friends. And I like hanging out with him.
That's awesome.
So I was just telling somebody. That's so the fact that you just said that, like, really blows my mind, because I said those words. We are just now friends, and I like hanging out with my friend.
When we counsel couples, that's what we tell them. You need your foundation of your marriage need to be friendship. It needs to be friendship. Because even if you have an argument, you're more apt to come back together quicker.
Okay.
That's your friend.
And you miss your friend.
You know,
that is key too. But I can say this right here. In the beginning, when we first started dating, we was friends.
Okay.
And what my immaturity, what grew us apart because of my immaturity, and then she wanted too much from me.
Okay.
And so
okay,
she wanted the pastor. In our first year of being together, and I wasn't there.
Because you already saw it in him?
Amen.
And okay. So what happened was, I didn't
want to. That's why I love Tanisha.
I didn't want to be around her no more.
Okay.
I couldn't talk to her no more. Yes. I couldn't do that. And so that's what I couldn't.
I wouldn't let him be who he was.
She wouldn't
right
let me be who I am. And so it made it hard for me to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even walked in my. I don't even want to preach. That's not a desire.
The pastor,
of mine.
The relationship. Y'all not even married yet, right?
So she seemed much higher. And so when
I was pulling,
we was friends, and then we began to grow apart because she had me so high. You want?
I did.
I still cuss.
Yeah, a whole lot. Jesus, God, I used to look at her like.
And so I had to be very, you know, I couldn't be me. And
okay.
God was through doing what I didn't step up to the plate.
You wasn't ready to bat yet, right?
I wasn't ready.
And so
he didn't even know what he said I'd do to.
No.
Wow.
He said I'd do it. To what?
I didn't know. I'll be honest with you.
I ain't know.
So
wow.
We had to work. We had to go back to friendship.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I begin to let her know.
After you got married or before?
We got married.
Okay.
After we got married.
Okay.
You know, we had my valley experience and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that maybe.
Okay.
If you want
to
know.
Well, it's funny because, not to cut you off, Pastor Billy, but so in your title, I said life, love, and in God. So y'all have, I was going to say first, let's talk about your life, but y'all did that in your intro. So now let's talk about love, because that was the next thing. So
okay.
As far as so y'all were dating. How long were you dating before she mentioned, she saw the pastor in you and mentioned it to you? Part one. Part two, is it because you grew up in church? Because we grew up together, but I know your pastors in your family run deep. Deep.
Yes.
I used to go to Tanisha's uncle's church, Pastor Charles Hawkins. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad still mention some of the messages that he had preached on, but yeah, so they run deep in the family. So I'm surprised on your first day she didn't say pastor. Billy. So both parts of the question, you answer first. As far as when she started calling it out in you, and it made you.
It's not that she called it out.
Okay.
She's what I really needed.
Okay.
You know, she is really what I really needed, but. And then she just had me on pins and needles. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. And so what happens with that is that it's like a kid. You know what I mean? You can't do this around home, so you're leaving.
Do it somewhere else. Okay. You know what I mean?
So she had me on this pedestal. So I had to be this way. I had to be this way. And then what happened was I didn't want to be home.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, did you know that was why he didn't want to be, or did you just think? Because you know, sometimes we women can make up a whole scenario.
I was like this. When he was home, he didn't use profanity. He didn't.
Okay.
It's when he got around his family. So I would be like, why do you let them bring out the worst in you?
Okay. Okay.
You know, because at home, he's just.
He's a totally different person.
Yes.
Okay.
But he's fun and joking, but he don't use the cussing.
You know, right.
Because the way I was raised, you ain't about to curse around my mama, oof, my aunties,
you say that
my family,
again.
But we was raised different. So you got two different backgrounds.
Okay.
Him and his mom, my mother, she was cool as heck.
Okay, you know? Okay, okay.
But him and his mom have a conversation, they cussing with each other. Like, what? You about to die.
Right.
In my family. You see what I'm saying?
We didn't cuss with each
other. Yes, not at each other, but you may use it in a, sentence
they
or something.
They joke a lot.
Well, yeah. So what happened
that's
was.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But no, I know what you meant.
If I said
I have friends like that.
I would tell, I would tell mom what happened. And I would say, Mom, excuse me, but that's what I got to say. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because to me, now, y'all got to understand the way I was set up, the way I was raised.
Yeah. Okay.
It didn't sound good without a cuss word. So. And me and my mom would laugh about it. We had a good time.
Up.
You know, but
and
that's
I'm
what
like,
it was.
It was like,
but no,
cold
I know,
shock.
I know what you
never
mean.
Disrespect my mom.
And I was going to say, because everybody doesn't see it.
Don't
like
see
it
as disrespect.
It all
right.
depends on, but I like how he said it all depends how he was set up.
Yes.
From the time you were smaller.
That's
so
I get it. What I learned over the years, but culture shock.
Right, because the way you and I were raised, you could barely move in church. Yeah. Well, do what? Okay.
And then it was like lying, you know. They just lie for no reason. So I didn't, what are you lying? I can't stand a liar.
Okay.
You know, so.
You were always a truth speaker from the time we were younger. Okay, go on. She was always honest, y'all.
So, you know, that was another thing. And it's like, I was asking a lot from him at one time.
Yeah, it was a culture shock.
So basically,
you
I need
know,
you
so
to be...
we came from two different backgrounds and we moved in.
Okay. Okay.
Wrong thing to do.
Okay.
You know, we didn't date from afar. We shacked up.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So now you got two different backgrounds trying to come in the house and live, and we love each other crazy.
Okay.
But love don't make a marriage stay together.
I learned that as far as when I was younger, I would hear the people mention the Tina Turner song. I would hear older folks talk trying to be in grown folks' business, and they would say, love... What is this song?
What love got to do with
what love? And I would say that is so stupid. If you love somebody, then as I got older, I understood that love is not enough.
No.
I mean, it's not even enough to save our souls. God loves us, but there's still things we got
to
do
in
order to have salvation. Mm-hmm. So I get that love is not. So I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's a big thing.
Yeah, we live together. Based out of being convenience.
How long did y'all, before y'all got married, how long did you live together?
Well, it had to be a year and a half.
That was about like us.
Yeah, we would have got done faster, but the way our family was set up at the time, somebody else was getting married, and so we had to end up pushing hours back.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And so we ended up pushing back so we can have a family from down south to come. You know, we didn't have to bring that much stress on them. So that would end up pushing us back, but... We didn't stop doing what we
had. Right, you don't. I
we
mean,
did, you know, we, right. You know what I mean? And she knew better.
I get it.
She'd been in church all her life. I didn't know. She knew better. She's going to lead me till I can catch up. I didn't know no better. And so.
He was like walking around the house, tempting her, dribbling the basketball and all that stuff, probably.
He was a hot mess.
But through that, those challenges, that first 5 years of marriage was because of what we're talking about. Now we go back to talking about the foundation, the likeness. I really liked my wife.
Okay.
I really did. You know what I mean? I say I loved her. Based on the mistakes I made, I don't think I didn't love her.
Okay.
You understand? And this after we said I do. You know right. what I mean? Because of the choices I made, mm-hmm. Not only did I not love her, I didn't love myself because I never would have put myself in a position mm-hmm. to do that, even mm-hmm. though things wasn't going right at home. You know, I wasn't getting... And I'll be honest with you, in those times, in that first 5 years, I needed someone to help me as a man.
Mentor.
I needed a mentor.
Mentor. Okay, like another male.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I needed a mentor to help me, to make me accountable and responsible. And I didn't have that, that so as a man. Didn't okay. have a father figure. And then the ones I could count on lived so far, and the one that was near, I just didn't have that.
Okay.
And so in those times, what made me want to go out and... In my valley experience,
okay.
we'll you know, keep it real. I ended up call myself ministering to somebody.
Okay, I'm laughing because of the way you're laughing.
I don't know what happened.
That's how the enemy does it.
That's how he. That one little yeah.
Trying to minister, so, and you need to be ministering.
Yeah.
To.
So, mm-hmm. but let's just back up.
Mm-hmm.
So she spoke this out of me. You know, I'm going through the process, become a deacon.
Okay.
You know. Trying to grow, trying to be, you know, man, God has called me to be going so many challenges. Then God called me to minister.
Okay.
And wow, you know, that's a shocker. that is me. You know, out of all these folks out here. And
when you know yourself too, you like.
So transitioning, not being happy at home, not being happy with blended family situation, trying okay. to put all this together, me being the man. And the one thing I explained to my wife, at the time, my daughter was, our oldest daughter was 15, 16, 17 years old, 16. 16. And my wife was pulling so much on me to be the father of a 16-year-old. And I'm saying, baby, my oldest child is 4. I'm preparing for a 4-year-old, not no 16-year-old.
Okay.
So you want
okay.
me to do something that is not in me yet. I mean, it's what? In me, but it's not being produced. And all that was just driving me. I don't want to be
so
home.
So you had so much stuff going on.
I had so
on.
Much
okay.
pressure on me, so much, and no one understood it but me, seemed like. And I couldn't get her to understand at the time.
He didn't really talk, because I would ask him. I would say, he did tell me that, but the gap wasn't that big. But I would say, babe, is everything okay? You know, mm-hmm. how's our relationship? I would always ask him that periodically.
Mm-hmm.
He would always tell me everything's
fine.
Keep
yep.
doing what you're doing. So how do you fix something you don't know, bro?
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He always said, I knew he had a complaint about the kids, the blended family part.
Okay.
But I didn't know there was a problem with him and I.
Gotcha.
It
okay.
wasn't a major problem with me and her. I can deal with her.
Well, it's funny you said you can deal because I would ask Corey that too. And I don't know if that's a standard man answer, like sometimes like everything is fine, because he would say, there's been times when he said, well, I can deal with whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as a woman, I'm feeling like even if it's something small, I want you
to tell me
because, you know,
yeah,
you know, like immediately.
What I need to do.
Right.
So okay, I'm sorry. Not having no one to talk to in that part, you know yeah. what I mean? I'm telling my wife, baby, everything's fine. You know what I mean? But in the inside, I'm tearing up. I'm, you know, I want to be home.
Yeah,
and all, now Jesus. Challenges happen. Now you got to. I'm being called to the ministry. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be the father. It was just so
the head happening. Of the house. I got to be this father. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
I'm transitioning to not cussing as much. Y'all, I'm transitioning.
You working it out little by little, right?
Out, you know what I mean? And I understanding the calling God now. I have grown men want me to mentor them. It's like everything.
So you became what you needed.
I became what I needed. And so... Everything began to happen so fast. And then in that valley experience, you know, my wife came to me, we sat down, we had a talk, and I thank God for her being the praying woman that she was. And now what she's saying, her ministry or to uplift men and things like that, she did that in that part of the relationship.
Mm.
I mean, it was times where I wouldn't come home. She's praying over my pillow. She's praying. I mean, driving over. I mean, it was just, nobody but God. And so in my lowest point in life, I begin to tell her everything, let everything out. Mm-hmm. Baby, this is it. Everything out of the closet, I'm out. And I told her, I'll never forget. I told my wife, I said, baby, I said, I love you. And the reason why I love you, because the Christ in you.
Mm.
I said, your love draw me closer to God, closer to you. Mm-hmm. And so too many times in relationship where the woman is the stronger vessel at this point in life and the man is the weaker vessel, she push him away. Mm-hmm. But the love that she had draw me, oh God, mm-hmm. it draw mm-hmm. me closer.
To
And from that point,
wow.
From that point on, our relationship was, that's when the Oasis was produced.
Wow. The re- Okay.
Because of her loving me in my valley experience, loving me as Christ loved the church. And she did that and until I can take the baton and then be who God called me to be the man that God created me to be and love her as Christ loved the church.
That, and it's so funny because that it, I think of the movie War Room when you said that.
Well, like, I could have wrote it.
I was just getting ready to say, did y'all see if it's any of y'all friends that wrote the movie? Because they owe you some money.
Didn't know what I was going through.
Yeah.
So you never.
So they can't write nothing.
So let me go back.
My mama did not know. My daddy did not know. Not a soul. Just me and God. Wow. So you can't talk to everybody about what you're going through. Because everybody especially in your marriage. Speak life.
Okay.
Because they in the flesh.
So how did you, you're praying over the pillows, you're
I didn't know what I was praying for. I didn't know what he was going through. I had speculation it was another woman.
Okay.
You know, but this man that I married is a great man.
Okay.
So I didn't know who was in my house. The behaviors he was doing was not who I married.
And you knew that.
I knew that. You know, and I had no idea. My husband would say, when we got married, he said, I'm going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off. He always said, I'm going to make you mad. I'm going to do everything right. He don't know what a husband is. He ain't seen successful. But he's willing to learn. So when I asked about going to counseling at this time when he was in his valley, he said in my bedroom, he ain't going to counseling. He said, we young. We could get divorced. And we could go on with our lives, find somebody else. I said, he is not my husband standing there. And I didn't say a word. I just looked at him.
So you didn't say anything in that moment. You just, okay.
I just looked at him. It broke my whole soul.
Okay.
And then he told me the person that would counsel us was my uncle. If I say something to him, he out.
Wow.
So I couldn't say nothing to them. That's the only person I would go to.
Okay.
Me and God.
Mm.
So, the Holy Spirit, I had to put my eye on God and not on him.
And that's what I was going to ask.
On God. And that's why when I deal with a woman, I had a woman, the Holy Spirit told me to do a woman's segment. And I had all married women. I was going to do all women, but he said married only. And the number one rule in there is we're not talking about no men. We're not talking about what your husband ain't doing. What you have to work on you.
Mm.
And in this moment, my aunt gave me this book called A Wife After God's Own Heart. And that's what I told
you. I saw that on Facebook and because I jotted it so I could get, because I want to get the book.
Get it. A Wife After God's Own Heart. And I went through that book. I took my eye off of him, not coming home 3 o'clock. I'm calling him in the middle of the night. He ain't answering the phone, or he'll answer it and lie and say he's somewhere else. You know, it was so many lies. It was crazy. I didn't know who he was.
But I kept praying steadfast. Okay.
And I pray over his pillow. I anointed. I called him who he was, a mighty man of God. I would text him and tell him he is a mighty man of God. Through everything. And I said to God, I forgive him before I knew what he had done. I had already chosen to forgive him for whatever it does, because I knew that is not who I married. You know, it's hard. I'm not saying it was easy. I cried right as I'm reading this book, and I'm saying, God, you know, because you're flesh, I'm like, I'm doing all this. He ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working on
me. Right. I'm trying to build myself.
Being the wife that you called me to be, he being the devil. Well, how that's going to work out? It's called seed time, followed by harvest.
I'm glad you said that. I want you to repeat that, because I know for me, it's funny how you say work on you, because I have one of those moments, too, where I'd be like, you feel like you're doing everything, not really – only doing the check-in, like, am I cooking? Am I clean? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Mm-hmm. But not really hearing or observing their behaviors and maybe praying about it. Mm-hmm. So it was one day, literally, the Lord was like, you need to work on you. And I did have, I have a girlfriend at that time, her and I were talking, and she said to me exactly what you, she said, you need to continue to be the wife that God called you to be, because you're not perfect, Tere. And I'm like, What you mean? That's, I mean, I know I'm not perfect, but I cook for him. Mm-hmm. If he wants it on demand, whenever, like, mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I put him before the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. She was like, you're not perfect. What? I am perfect for him. You know, not thinking mm-hmm. that I was expecting him to fill holes that he didn't dig.
There you go.
Somebody else dug them years ago.
Yeah.
Or I gave somebody a shovel and knowing what they were doing, let them dig the holes. And now I'm expecting them to fill them. But so I was reading this book and I told this story before and it stood out because I was like, okay. And it was, The Power of a Praying Wife and The Power of a Praying Husband. His sister got us those books. Mm-hmm. At the time, I remember saying, I looked at the book and Corey was like, oh, he was like, oh, this is a nice book. I put mine in the closet and said, oh, that's nice. I'm not ready for that yet. Mm-mm. And I said that. Now, mind you, I'm telling God, fix him, do this, do that. About a year or two goes by. Mm. I find the book again. And I start reading. I'm like, I'm not supposed to do what? And it was saying the same stuff that my girlfriend was telling me. So I started writing. And I'm looking at him like, because I felt like, yes. Because I felt like, you know, he ain't jumping on me enough, or he ain't showing me enough attention, or, you know, just stupid things that you get all in your mind or whatever. So I was like, all right, Lord, I'm gonna follow this thing through. Then I got a journal and it was praying on behalf of your husband. And it told you prayers to say, and then you journal your thoughts. It was a prayer journal for your husband. So I would be like, I'm writing this. He ain't even asked me what I'm writing. I mean, just mad for no reason. Like, so I was like, Lord, I'm gonna do it. So every morning I would do the prayers. So I had took this yoga class and I wanted him to take it. And like, he came and he took it, but before he got there, I saw this hot pink bag and I was like, Dad, I really like that bag. Bag was $39. Went in, we did it after class. So then I'm leaving out, or I'm talking to one of the girls and he said, come here, you like this bag? I was thinking about getting it for you. And it was the pink bag. And I was like, oh, Jesus, is he, I'm going to keep doing it. It worked. Cause it's working. But that just showed me how to work on me, because my old thought process was, you know how they say, if you let a child continue in their behaviors, mm-hmm. even if you change as a parent, but you let them continue, they'll always stay that way. So my thing was, well, God, why should I not say nothing? Because if I feel like he's not giving me enough attention, he's gonna keep doing it no matter what I do. But I had to take my eye off of him, like you said, mm-hmm. and you know, talk to God about it. And I'm glad that he wasn't like me, because now looking back, I'd be like, I would have had some words to say to me. Even though I thought I was perfect for him, mm-hmm. I still would have had words, because my attitude wasn't always right. Or sometimes I wouldn't be direct with him. I would say little smart things, or I can admit it. Let's watch this TV show. Knowing it was like the same, it was a show that what we were going through, but I wanted him to get, let's watch this show. Uh-huh. What do you think about that?
It turned it up.
You know, did you? Did you?
It did turn it up.
Yeah.
That part you know about it. Come on, wait. I used to know it.
Be like, ain't that crazy? What you think about that?
Oh, yeah, we having a war. Before he would pay attention. I would put it over here in the bed. Yeah. I would rewind it like I didn't hear it.
Like, wait a minute. Oh, let me tell you, I would do the same thing. And I would act like it, or sometimes I would act like it was for a different reason. Mm-hmm. Or can you believe that? Let's see if he gonna say something. Yeah. So I could be like, well, why? Because you do it too. And it never worked. And I think he must have known, because he would just be quiet and didn't make you mad. Or, oh, so he gonna act like he don't recognize the behavior. And he know it's him. He had some of the little tricks, some of the little things that we would do. Forgive me. I knew what I was doing. I didn't know. I knew what I was doing.
But yeah,
a modern day Eve.
I purchased him a book too. I purchased him a book was Dr. Miles Monroe book, Power and Purpose of a Man. And I bought him a card, okay. And I bought him a little gift, and I gave it to him. And it sat by the side of the bed for a long time. I would look in the bag, here he is. But I just gave it, and I left it alone.
Okay.
But him was reading it and sneaking. He wants me to see him read it.
So he was reading it and then putting it back in the... Stubborn stuff. Oh, I have one of those probably that would probably do something like that. Maybe back and see.
Well, my wife has an anointing in nosiness.
Wait, I was ready for him to get deep. He said in nosiness.
So, because she didn't see me pray, don't mean I don't pray.
Okay.
Because you don't see me reading, you know, and
I started off by saying I was an officer, correction officer, almost 17 years.
So, okay.
It's a profession. I need to see what's going on.
But when she don't understand, when she leave there, she's supposed to leave it there. Don't bring your officer home. I don't bring your officer home. So I would begin to read the book.
Call me nosy.
Yeah, I would begin to read the book. And when I hear it pull up, I would put the book back where it was.
See that?
That's the shame. And
now, I want you to understand this too, is that it was definitely probably one of my first book I ever read.
Really?
In this all one? My life. You know what wow. I mean? I've been in sports. I can read sports magazines. I can read all kind of, I can read a whole, I mean, I've always been in tune with sports. But when it came to reading for myself,
okay,
development, things like that, I never have done that. And so she planted the seed inside me to read that book. Just the book, you know what I mean? She planted the seed. And I began to read that book in my valley experience. In my valley. And I began to read that book and I was coming out. And I began to understand the role of a man. I began to understand the role of a woman. I began to understand.
Okay.
And I felt in this category. I didn't know. I didn't understand. And so as I began to read, my life began to change.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It began to change. Oh my God, man. I mean, and I tell you, I'm going back a little bit, but when we made the decision to, this is what we're going to do. She said, I was downstairs. I never forget it. She sent me a text. She said, come on upstairs. Let's make love.
This is how I found out he cheated.
This is what I did. Okay. Right okay. She cheated. She was like, let's go.
This is right. Okay.
The
okay.
same day.
She said, let's come upstairs.
That was the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. It was nobody. Well, okay. She texted me. She said, come upstairs. Let's shame the devil. I was like, no. She was like, come upstairs. We're going to consummate our marriage. I was like, no.
He thought I'm about to kill
you. You ain't about to come up here and kill me. Uh-oh. You just found out. Hold on. Now, who does this?
The same
nobody
day.
Nobody but God.
Right.
You found out that I did the most horrifying thing that I've been lying about.
And you want me to come upstairs.
You found out. And now you want to have sex. You want to make love to me. Who does that?
Again, you had never had anybody to support you ever in life.
She texted me. She said, come on upstairs. Let's shame the devil. I said, no, I'm good.
You were scared for your life.
I didn't know. Now you got to understand, we're doing something that's against all. You don't hear about this.
No. I mean,
and so it was a pivot. I knew. I did know. This is I didn't know, but I was like, man, this could be God.
Okay, so you kind of felt, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And so I'm feeling bad, everything was going on, and I wanted real change. And now I'm at the point now I need real change.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Only because now I've disappointed her.
Okay.
But more important, I disappointed myself.
Yourself, okay.
You know? And she said, come on upstairs. I mean, we had a bi-level house, it was like 5 steps. Then was the longest 5 steps. And I begin it. I think I tell her, well, you can get it up. You can get it. You know? But that
this
comes
is why
from,
I love them, y'all.
Yeah. That comes from the covenant.
Okay.
We had made a vow. Even though I didn't totally understand the vows.
That you were making,
that
right.
I was making. Death to us. I didn't understand everything that was going on. God made a covenant with it. Even when I broke the covenant, his covenant still remained. The love, the love of God still remains. And so it covers the multitude of all sin, the sins I ain't committed yet. He've already died for it. All that beginning to come. And I said, you know, my God, you know, my. And so when we consummated, it was like as if we just got married again. From that point on to where we are today, our marriage has been the best on the planet.
So
it's
to the fact that you were. You know, because people act like, oh, I don't want to be super spiritual, but I don't feel like you can be because God is in everything. And the fact that you put him even in the consummating of your marriage, because had you not listened and been in your own flesh, you probably would have been like, well, either I'm about to go get mine or I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had them thoughts. Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, through the process.
Yeah, the fact that you were able to even.
I'm so old school, my mind. He must don't know who I am. Yeah. I'm getting him out. I got to put it with this.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit said, that is not who you are. He said, you are a virtuous woman of
But
God.
Did you hear what you said? He must not know who I am. But then the Holy Spirit had to tell you,
that's not
who you are.
That's what he said. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I started crying. Because that was easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That was easy to just get another one.
Right.
I've been doing that all my life.
Right.
But to stand in the midst of this turmoil. In the, I ain't never been cheated on of my knowledge.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
And so now the man that I love, I had a wall up when I married because I'm second marriage.
And I was going to ask you to go
with marriage.
Okay.
Drama.
Okay.
But here is another marriage. And oh my God.
The man of your dreams.
I had a wall up before I, and when I let it down, finally let it down because his family, everybody talks so highly of Billy. I'm looking for the nigga.
Okay. No, you fine. Don't go. No, you fine. You can, we can say this is open.
Whatever. Okay. I'm waiting, looking for that joker.
Okay. No, you fine.
Just switch roles. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. Not just playing.
No, look, you fine because this is this, one. This is the, no, but this is real talk, and people listening are going through. You know what I mean? So you was looking for him.
I'm looking for him, and that's what you ain't supposed to do. Because that which you fear the most has come upon you.
That's true.
So I called him into existence. Because this is what I was fearing the most. Instead of, accepting what I have. This is a great man. This is who he is. You know. Wow. But what I feared the most, I brought it into existence.
So now really, it was your fault why I did everything.
No!
Y'all, my producer then just gave him a high five. Corey, don't get fired. Don't get fired on the live podcast. Don't get fired.
I didn't know nothing. I wonder why all this stuff is happening to me. And I used to say, baby, why me? Why me? And then I didn't know she feared this.
I like that. But that's another reason that I enjoy every time I'm in y'all presence because this is real life stuff. So I love how you bring real life and then you bring the word behind it. And it shows you that the word still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So for you, look, listen, my friend always says, girl, you know the Bible. It is not until I sit down and I'll be like, yeah, I know the word. Sit down. That which I fear has come upon. Where is that? Because I don't remember that.
Joe.
So the fact that you can, you know, that you have the let's make love and then you all, you can minister that way and then you can come back and minister a different way to him. It's beautiful to, you know, to see that in y'all.
Yes.
So I'm going to go home and read my Bible some more. Because Corey be knowing stuff and then I'll be like, really? I'll be like, hey.
Amen.
He be teaching me. I'm like, I thought I was going to know that. You know, but I'm honest and I tell him, wow, you didn't taught me something. But sometimes he'll try to remix what I've already told him. Mm-hmm. Act like he said, I'm like, you know, I told you that, right?
Y'all so funny.
See,
yes, but
that's, and I believe that's when the Oasis was
born. Was born, was birthed, okay.
There was a dry place in our life. That we needed living water.
Yes.
We needed God's anointing upon us in that dry place. And it broke.
Man. But I must say, hold on, I must say this, the Holy Spirit is coming back to me. When I found out everything, you know, I cried, I went through all the emotional thing, and the Holy Spirit said, you already forgave him, remember? Hey, la boca.
Because you, wow, because you had said, I forgive him. So,
and I can say this for the record.
Wow, that just gave me
She never, throughout the time, she never mistreated me. She never, you know, she never called me out my name.
Like he was treating me right.
She never, you know what I mean?
Talked to me crazy. I still loved him and treated him as if he was treating me like he always did, like a queen. I never treated him different. I didn't allow anyone in my house because my parents was there. And they seen me out late and everything. And my dad was saying something to my mom. I told my mom, you tell my dad, if he can't speak life about my husband, don't say a thing. Keep his name out your mouth. Don't play with my husband. If you don't speak life, you don't speak anything. That's why I did all the speaking. Because I didn't have the authority over him. I went to my dad. I don't need nobody else to say nothing. You know? So, Holy Spirit told me that. And that's when he told me to do. He told me, you know, my flesh ain't saying no come up here and make no love.
Look, at least not to you.
No, not right now, babe.
You want, right.
And I cried the whole time. But I know we were victorious. We won.
And you said, let's shame the devil.
That's
and let's,
because right. I've, that's what the Holy Spirit told me now.
That is the first time that I have heard, like,
we
I
mean, win. I'm sorry.
No,
no. Because I'll be white.
Because that's encouraging again to marriages. Mm-hmm. Because you hear so many people talk about how marriages fail. Like when we were here for the love panel, I call it, in February. Mm-hmm. But it's not just worldly marriages, or it's marriages that are supposed to have a Christian foundation.
Amen.
And so the fact that you were able to put aside your flesh in that moment, mm-hmm. it shows, again, I was talking to Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha about where the name Tales from a Butterfly came from. And I was talking about how the caterpillar goes through the metamorphosis. And when it's in the cocoon, it literally is eating its own mess in order to come out and survive. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of almost like, you know, when you text him that, you're literally having to die to flesh. Ooh, like, man, I'm killing myself right now. But it's for the greater good.
That's good. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like, man, like that's an amazing testimony, you know?
Again, like I said, always is, I believe that's when, you know, even when God called me, told me about the Oasis, I didn't know what Oasis was. I didn't know.
Nope.
He told me to name the church Oasis. I had no clue. I mean, I, you know, we,
right.
But he didn't know, you know. And so I think a new love was birthed out of it. And I remember saying, you know, in that time is that, you know, I want when people see love, think about love, I want them to see us.
Amen.
Mm.
When you think about, when you see relationships, when
Amen.
You see marriages, I want, and no matter what we went through, I want them to see us.
Amen.
Mm.
You know, and so that's what I begin to work on. I begin to work on myself. I begin to read. I begin to treat. I had to build a relationship back up
the
with
trust.
Her.
Okay.
I had to build trust. It was all worth it. It was everything. You know, I'll tell all the time, listen, I'm going to the store, babe. I'm in the store. I let her know everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tell y'all, because of the way of my surrounding, the way I grew up, I had no one to be accountable to.
You only had to be accountable to your flesh and what it wanted.
So my main thing was, so as a kid, I couldn't go nowhere. I was the oldest child, so I had to take care of my siblings.
Okay.
So therefore, I had to tell my mom everything, what I was doing, where I was going, so I couldn't go nowhere. Now I became grown, and you think you're going to tell me where to go?
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
Tell her where I was. I would just
leave the house, child.
I'm grown.
Just leave.
And then it sunk in one day. She said, babe, if something happened to you, I'll look stupid because I wouldn't know where you was at.
I wouldn't know what direction to look.
Wouldn't know where to look at. And it
and back then, you know, we didn't have where's my iPhone.
Right?
Nah. You know what I mean? I turned the phone off. That was the devil anyway.
The phone. Right.
That's a whole nother. We'd be a no one. That phone stayed with me, boy. I went to the bathroom one time, left the phone in the room, couldn't even do nothing. Right back in there. She don't know I'm trying to get the phone. I'm thinking about Lord.
You
what
can't
I came
even
in
use
the bathroom for? I don't know what. Oh, this phone, Jesus! I just wanted to cut it off. One time we got the phone cut off. Don't even cut it back on. This is the. listen, man. When I got delivered, y'all, from all this stuff, my
wow.
baby. Here's my passcode. That's listen. Here, listen. That was this. Most of my worries was the phone.
Yes. When I gave, because
I'm telling you, it was
so
nobody but God. When I gave a passcode to the new phone,
nobody but God.
Yeah. Like, here's everything you need. Here's the passcode. I told him one time I had a phone. I had got a, you know, you put your fingerprint on.
Yeah.
Give me your fingerprint. This is,
so you can,
this, I'm letting you know I'm delivered. I'm delivered.
You got all the fingerprints.
Yeah.
Baby, the code is da 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 da. Here, he leave the phone everywhere.
Oh, listen.
But my husband used to be texting the woman while I'm in the bed, under the bed.
Under the bed.
That's what she said. I can't.
Yes, it is.
You can't confirm nor deny.
We're upstairs. We're not in the church sanctuary.
So.
Upstairs in the upper room. So that was listen.
Yes, Lord.
That's old stuff.
But what I was going to say is, you know what's funny is, people talk about their past, and I think there's two types of people. People that will use their past to excuse the behavior in the present.
My.
Like, well, the reason I go off is because nobody loved me as a child. Or you have the people that use their past as a testimony in their present.
Yes.
And the fact that y'all can sit up here and it's not forced laughter. It is like, I wish y'all could be in this room with us. Y'all could probably feel it through the podcast that you can, joke about this. That is true deliverance. Because so many people walk around, I'm delivered. No, you're not.
No.
Because every time something happens, unforgiveness.
Because when you say you forgive,
you forgive.
That means you don't bring it up no more.
You're right.
You can't say you forgave, and then we have another argument, and you bringing up old stuff. But you said we was done with that. Why is you're that coming up again? You did not forgive. So, and I have never, from that day.
Now, has there been times when you've wanted to?
Wanted to bring it up?
Yeah.
And for what?
Because there's, because you
it's just, in a sea.
Okay, a forgetfulness. Okay.
I never told a soul. I never said anything until my husband brought it out in a session we was having. Because then now he's over it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to make my husband uncomfortable or make him feel. So when he started talking about it.
You knew.
Then it was able to talk about it. Yeah, it was hard. I was already good.
Yeah, when I first started talking about it. I cheated.
Y'all should see him now. Like he stabbed himself in the side.
It was hard, Curtis. It was hard. It was hard. And as I kept telling it.
It got easier. I was going to say. And so many Christians hide in. So many Christians hide in shame.
There you go.
And so now, because we can never be truly delivered, because we don't want so-and-so to think this or so-and-so to know that. But it's like, we can't, you know, we're healed, healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony.
It was a process because you have an adversary.
Yeah.
You understand?
Okay.
So I was tormented for like 8 months, 8 to 9 months, because I desired to have a baby with my husband. So now he cheated. Did he wear a condom? Did all the questions.
Okay.
So the enemy had tormented my mind and my sleep for, he don't know, he never knew that.
So you never even told him that you
know.
Because
I am a warrior. I got this. Me and the Lord, I cast down every imagination that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And I brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and told the devil to shut the hell up.
Wow, I like that.
And leave me alone. I did this for 8 to 9 months.
Every time the thought would come up.
Yes, because I wanted a baby, and what if she's pregnant? See, the enemy would throw these.
Right, because you've already got past now.
Yes. But now, boom. What? I was tormented, yo.
But you know what I love about.
That was my stuff.
Billy. The fact that y'all brought who y'all were. God saved y'all and still wanted y'all to be y'all. Meaning, I knew Tanisha from the time I was like, 12?
Yeah.
Maybe even younger. Tanisha has not changed. In terms of her fight.
Yeah.
But now she's using that same, whether it's to get us to go out, to get me to spend the night at her house, to get whatever, you know, like, oh, you're gonna have to ask my mom. But she has that same fight for the kingdom now. So often we as Christians who were rah-rah in the world, we come in God's house and now we're
horny.
Yeah. And so I love that same Tanisha that would have knocked somebody out in the street if the adversary came to you.
Yes.
Now this adversary that's trying to tear down your kingdom, you're using those same tactics. So that's what I love, that you haven't changed. You're the same person. You're just on a different team. And not even that you were ever, I'm sorry, on the other team. Mm-hmm. But now you're like, nah, I'm the captain of this team now.
That's ma'am.
You know, so I love that about you.
Again, it became our foundation to our ministry. It became a foundation to where we are even at today. And so what she prayed about began to manifest. Now she's no longer, the head of the household, because I relinquished all that to her. You know what I mean? And so too many times in life is that the man want to be the head of the household, but you're not doing the head of the household stuff. And so I didn't want that. I didn't want the head of the household. I just wanted to keep everything peaceful, things like that.
So you would say, you go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, baby. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? Because that was the easiest way to do. But when I found out who I was, who I am in Christ, this is where I'm supposed to be. Let's go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
When everything needs, right. I get the final say. But not only, the reason why this happened, because I'm chasing after God.
Amen.
I'm doing what God has called me to be. I'm being the head of the household. Okay. I'm loving Christ as Christ loved the church. I took that role and became who God has called me to be. So therefore, she has to submit to it.
Amen.
And she has no problem with submitting. The problem was, I was out of role.
Right, so she had no one to submit to.
I had a wife that don't have a problem with submitting. Mm-hmm. She was very okay with it. It was just me understanding my role. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to lead.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be in a position where they don't know how to do. Because I find that for myself. I'm normally very, I can take the lead, I can do. But if I find myself in a space where I don't know what I'm talking about, that makes me uncomfortable. Absolutely. So now it's like, nah, I don't want this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Know? So, you know, I don't argue. We don't argue. You know what I mean?
You said that and the thing.
You don't. You ain't gonna be yelling at me. We don't do that now. I mean, I know how to leave the thing.
That was from the beginning, though.
We ain't gonna be screaming at her.
All I knew how to do was that.
Yeah, that's what you knew how to do.
That's what I knew how to do. You know who my family is. So when I was trying to say what I had to say, he would say, "Who do you think he's talking to?" And I just feel like a little kid. Yeah. We ain't gonna do that. I ain't even know what else to do. So I ain't say nothing.
So we established that in the beginning, you know. So even in those tough times, she didn't come at me wrong. You know, I thank God for her. But where we at today is just simply amazing. It's just simply nobody but God. And I know that we are the one that people can look up to. Mm-hmm. My character, my integrity, you know, even though I had a past, we all had a past. Mm-hmm. But how I take it from here, you understand? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I ever shared this with her, but I believe that God has a power and an anointing. Even people say, well, you know, you might forgive, but you might not forget. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the anointing God put on my life, and I can make her forget. Mm-hmm. Do the way I treat her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She'll tell you, I mean, it's been total, you know, that worry about where I'm going, how I'm going. She knows
everything. You're just at ease.
No problem. And so there's nothing out of order. You know what I mean? She knows, I mean.
It's been that way for years.
It's been, you know what I mean? So It got to the point where my prayers are being answered because not only did she forgave, but the forgetting is leaving. Mm-hmm. It's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's nobody but God. And so
the forgetting is gone. It's no sting.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It's no sting. It's no pain. It's no nothing when I talk about it. I have no problem.
It's like it's no emotion tied to it. Right?
No, it's ministry. Yeah. It wasn't even about us when we went through. What we went through was about who we have to help. Mm-mm-mm. And when people sit in front of me with their little lame mess, but they marriage problem. Because it'd be a little petty, selfish, dumb stuff.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And if you don't want me to bring you the word, then I can't counsel you. Because he is the creator of marriage. And the manufacturer give you the book.
That's right.
Wow.
So I'm not going to have a Honda Accord and look in the Bible and tell me how to run a Honda. I got to go look at the book that's in the glove compartment.
That's right.
Right. Right.
So if you want to know how to run your marriage, how to have it successful, I'm going to give you biblical principles. Because that's the only way it's going to work. Biblical principles. Let you know how to respect. It's some people who just know how to respect one another.
Okay.
And how to love and honor. It's people like that. But I'm saying, if you sit in front of me counseling, you absolutely is missing a couple of notes. Which is cool.
Right.
Because if you're teachable and coachable, I got you. But right. I'm with you. It's my passion. I'll do it for free. We don't charge. I just want, I war on the enemy. Because that is who behind it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's the enemy who don't like marriage. Because there is power and strength in unity, in the oneness of a marriage. He said the two become one. But people want to get married and stay two. You want to be one when we get into bed. That's it.
That's the only time.
But everything else you want to keep separate. That's yours, that's mine. No, one, baby. It's real.
Yeah, because what one can put 10,000 to flight.
Yeah, two.
No, one can put 1,000.
That's 1,000. Two can put 10,000. So just imagine you and the. Right. I told y'all to need a scripture. I thought I was on the side. I was close though. You knew the meaning, right?
That's right.
So two can put 10,000, right? So why not have that? Wow. It just really is beautiful to see and to hear, because I think I've even heard Christian women say, you know, their grandmamas taught them that every man does it or every woman does it, and the woman shouldn't have a say or the man shouldn't. I never forget. I had somebody tell me, I said it before, I was I said it on a, again, a different podcast that I was buying Corey shoes because I've realized that my love language toward him was giving him stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, and because I realized that my mom's love language in the house growing up, she made sure we had what we needed, what we wanted. She would get little things mm-hmm. for us. So I was doing that to him, but would be mad when he didn't do that to me. Mm-hmm. So I was at work one day when I was working and I was going to get him some shoes. You don't buy no man no shoes. Yes.
Heard it.
Yes. I'm like, that's just like saying, don't put your pocketbook on the floor. Well, I would put it on the roof if it was true.
Okay.
They said, don't put your pocketbook on the floor because your money going to be low. Sometimes I still find myself scrambling, but I'm like, if that was the truth, I would be Corey, be like, where are you going? To the roof to put all my pocketbooks. You know, so yes. It's just like little things that even things that we laugh about that we've heard over and over again mm-hmm. in our past, they come up
yeah.
in certain instances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, no, let me not buy him no shoes or let me not do this. Or is he doing that? Because mm-hmm. instead of trusting only God only with God. Our issues.
Yes. I think we're living in a time where people, marriage couple, all over, we live in a time where we need transparency. Mm-hmm. We need people that have real life stories that have been through some challenges, and they need to know how we made it. They need to know how they can make it. And so the best people that is the ones that have been through it. Yeah, we can tell. That's why we're able to be able to show you and tell you the things we've done. What? Because sometimes you hear somebody's story, man, the mind is not that bad.
Right. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
People sitting in front of me like, it's are you not, really, you going to divorce over that?
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, so. You know,
over money. Uh-uh. There's much greater things.
Thank you, please.
We didn't have, you know, those. And I think they were majorly with defect issues in our own life. Mm-hmm. That the things that we went against. You know what okay. I mean? Come from different backgrounds.
Yes.
Of life and trying to make this thing work with nobody but God. We didn't have no, our parents weren't successful.
No.
You know? I mean, you know.
Divorce.
My mom was in her 50 with somebody who was 30. I think he was my age. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was older than him. Yeah. You know what I mean? My mom was getting her groove.
Getting her groove bad.
You know what I mean? She didn't, you know, so, you know, and then, my mom, you know, she got married, but she still had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So you didn't have any.
That's what I'm coming out. No, you know what I mean? My grandparents was great. You know what I mean? They had great success.
I didn't have many.
We didn't have many. She didn't have many.
He had four.
Your dad had four wives.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're trying to break this mold of what we see.
Doing that.
We're trying to be the example to the body of Christ.
Amen.
But I like how you, the example to the body of Christ. Because so many times, we grow up, what goes on in this house stays in this house. Right. But that's not helping anyone.
No.
And I'm sure you guys feel
that. Especially the kids.
No, yeah,
Now our daughter just got married.
Yes, you congratulations, I saw
so
that.
So we're able to teach them, counsel them. Divorce is not an option.
Mm-mm.
You understand? Because you said that this is the man of your... So therefore, when challenge time comes, he's still the man that God called you to be.
That's it.
Right,
call him
right,
to be.
That's
so
right,
therefore,
right.
We're going to continue to give you the tools
right.
to make this thing work.
That's it.
Ain't no divorce not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this time, we have made divorce an option.
Yes. In the church.
In the church. In the world.
Yeah.
The church is yes. But all over, we have made divorce
yeah.
an option.
Yeah.
And the church is supposed to be the example.
The example.
And that rate is up to a whole other level. So that's why we have no time. Our age group, we have no time for casualties.
Yeah.
We have no time for divorce. We have this is our time.
Yes.
And so therefore, we got to stand for something. We'll continue to fall for anything. So the world needed us to make it.
Yes.
The church needed us to make it.
Yes.
The church needed us to stand for what we stood for. Even though we didn't understand us standing for what we stood for,
yeah.
we didn't understand what God was going to do. We looking at seven, how many years ago that was? We didn't know this right here is happening. We
right.
didn't know that a church was going to be produced from that.
Wow.
We didn't know none of this stuff. But God knew that he needed somebody to make it, to stand, forgive, love, and be the example.
And had the blended family.
Oh, yes.
That's a whole nother chapter.
We've been there.
That's a whole nother podcast. Just teaching on blended family alone.
But you know what? That is such a good idea because it's funny. Our family is basically like a blended family. You know, I had Ariel and then I met Corey when she was one. So we've legally changed her last name, but we had so many other entities, meaning, and I, being transparent, the other side of the family,
right,
that would, I mean, here he is, he's doing everything. Yeah. He's the one getting up with her in the middle of the night when she's sick, cleaning up, reading her stories, doing, taking him. When we were dating, I'll never forget, my car broke down, or I had a 1980 Oldsmobile. My friend would tease me and say, girl, you come flying through Millville, the front of your car be up like a spaceship, like it's getting ready to take off. But so my car had broke down. He says, you can use my car. And I'm thinking, well, my grandmom's working 4 to 12. I don't have no, you know, I'm not going to school. I don't have nobody to watch Ariel. And he said, I'll take her. So him, he was with his boys, wow, taking my daughter,
awesome,
you know, with him or whatever. So I just thank God for covering us, because that could be another door that the enemy uses, is yeah, that the blended family,
oh,
especially when you got somebody
is,
speaking
it
against.
Is, girl.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is another door. Well, yeah, you're right.
Because most marriages, they dealing with that and they don't know how to deal with it. So,
and they don't understand that it's affecting the child who's going to grow up and become an adult.
Can I tell you, the problem is, here's the biggest problem. It's another subject, but here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is when you come with a blended family, people trying to see where they fit in. Mm. And when you become married, the husband, I mean, it's God, then the husband, then the wife, and then the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the blended family situation, they still trying to put the kids before the husband, or
yes,
the husband, or the
yes,
kids before the wife. And that's out of order, and they don't know how to put, they don't know how to decipher who goes where.
Because they say,
that's good.
Well, my child was here first,
yeah,
but you took a covenant vow.
Yes.
So that it made
it trumps
shift.
It.
Mm.
When you made a commitment to God and said, I do, it trumps your child. That don't mean your child don't still
don't
be
matter.
Loved.
Right, right,
it
right.
You shouldn't be shit, but you ought to know.
Who comes from, and
absolutely. But now it's the man, whoever. So for in our position, in our situation was, we're blended family, and my wife put me in front of the kids, which that's how it's supposed to be. It is my job not to make the kids feel that way.
Hmm.
But we also talk to our kids and explain it. They know the order.
Okay.
We told
so you
them
didn't just book implement
age,
it. Okay. Okay.
Because they have to learn. So we let them know the order.
This is
now
how
they be on Facebook.
That's right.
Telling other people the that's order right of how I go.
Now,
yes,
our
they do.
Children are teaching, speaking it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Wow.
Because of that sacrifice we taking. Because no one don't
proud though. Like,
no one who teaches this.
You are so right.
Who teaches the order of a relationship and kids, even in the blended family situation? Who teaches it? Nobody.
Nobody, because people just assume because you're a Christian,
you're supposed to have done it right.
You just do it right. You're right, and that's one thing that I did see in my household. I mean, even down to fixing it. My mom always fixed my dad's plate first, so I feel like my mom worked, but my dad worked too, the provider. So in my house, Corey works. So guess what? His plate's going to be done. When I hear his truck go beep, beep, I get it. Again, because I don't ever want him to say, I need you to go back to work. Right. No, it's hot. It's here. Right here.
Praise the Lord.
I don't ever want to give him a reason.
Well, my husband wasn't working for about 3 years. And ain't nobody plate getting made for his.
Wow. Because you still honored him. That's, you just brought back. So the couple that we talked to last week, you are living proof of what she said. She said, I asked them, what advice would they give the wife, what would you give? If a couple was getting married to her, what advice would you give the wife? And she said, even in his dishonor, you must always honor him.
Beautiful advice.
And so you are living proof.
You have to call him where you see him.
Mm.
Not what you see.
Yeah.
Call him where you see. Corey is going to be. I thank you for my man of God. He's going to rub my feet every night without me asking. I see it.
I got to speak to you too.
This girl,
I'm thank calling God it.
So the prayer you need, the prayer you need to speak is, Lord, you speak to him.
There you go.
Concerning my feet,
let his will,
let his will
line
up with my will.
Okay,
and it shall happen. So now when they do come, baby, let me rub your feet. You'll know it's nobody but God.
Okay,
that's how that works.
I ain't even gonna have to walk. He gonna be. I don't even want him to touch the ground. Let me carry you.
That's overflow.
Yeah, that's the overflow. Well, so, and it's funny, y'all have literally, because after talk life, talk love, let's talk God, but you've already.
Oh, yeah.
So y'all have already talked about everything. But you have made, I'm trying to see how to put this. You made your marriage become a ministry. So now your ministry seems like it's marriage.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, for others. Yes. Because for you to have Oasis, people come here and they feel like, I can talk to them. They're real. Because so many church people, I mean, we could have had an argument in the car, or not really argue, because Corey didn't really argue. Mm-hmm. A lot of men don't from, mm-hmm. but I could be mad, but you put that church face on. Mm-hmm. But when you come here, it's nice to talk to people who are anointed and who could see mm-hmm. something's going on.
Oh, yes.
And I think it's so important to surround yourself with married couples that, yeah. Can pull you aside and say, hey, let's pray. Even if they're not in your business, I know something's going on. Let's pray.
Say, call me. You can always call me.
Yeah.
I'm never getting nobody's business. No. You have to reach out for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm here. So that's what I say. When I see something, I'll just say, I'm available.
Mm. I think leave it right there. Our biggest issue is that you run across is that people that's not married or the benefits of marriage.
Mm,
and that's a big old problem.
They want the man to treat them like the wife, and he wants her to treat him like the husband. But y'all not married. Y'all don't get those. You don't get those benefits.
Right.
There's no covenant there. God don't honor it, mm-hmm. and you want God to. He just loved you.
And you looking up to my man. You want what I want? What you, I got?
Yeah,
married, baby.
So y'all going through all the different challenges. And there's no, we made a covenant when
she won't submit to who? She
what is submitting to?
Right.
She not submit to you. Who are you? You ain't her husband.
Right. You're right.
That's what the blessing of a married couple, and it's not biblical.
And I find that women want to be wives, but because the Bible says he who finds a wife, which means you were already a wife before he found you.
Look at this.
So what are you doing to prepare to be that wife?
Absolutely.
You know, and then on the opposite, and I realize, people think that a man, he has to be looking for a wife. No, if I'm walking and I find $5, I wasn't even looking for it. And I didn't even know I needed that five until I found it.
That's good.
So a man who finds a wife, I wasn't even looking for no wife. And didn't realize I needed her until I found her. So we as women need to put ourselves in a position to be found, which
that's
means
it.
You need to be that wife because we're already the bride of Christ anyway.
Yes. Sometimes you gotta get outside
of
church.
Like that. No. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you don't want the ones in the church because they done ran through all the deaconesses, the choir board, the usher board. And that's just real.
I'm so done.
Now you done dated all of us and we all in the same ministry. Praise dancing. Did he date you too? I mean, but people are so holy, they won't get out the church like you said.
Yeah.
You know, open yourself. Go to a coffee shop. Go, you know.
It's a whole big world out there.
Yeah.
I guess what I can, not trying to sum it up, but what I can say would, even in this part that we got it together, after we got it together, the same thing we've done to get it together, we got to do the same thing to keep it together. And so many times I see relationship as they do what it takes to keep them, and then once they got them, they stop. So this still have date nights. We still laugh. We joke. We take car rides. We still do those things to keep this thing together.
Okay.
And if we're going to continue to be successful, you got to do those things.
And hard sacrifice.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And you know, people so making excuses. Well, I can't. We can't get a babysitter. I ain't got no money. And I shut up. What's important?
Right. Right. Right.
What is important?
So you find time.
Your number one priority is supposed to be your spouse. That's supposed to be your number one priority. I see it all over. But you can find time for that. But you can't find time for your spouse. You can find time for that. Why do you think you got hell in the house?
Wow.
Because the spouse feels. They see that, oh, you got time for that. You got time for that.
But you don't
have time to take me out. Time with me. You have to sacrifice.
Even if you do it in the house, date night.
Even
if
it's in the house. Oh, you can just set the atmosphere. My husband, when he wasn't working, would type me up a card, would make me a card and write what's in his heart. Type it up, put little pictures, and it's so cute. And one time he put little stickies all over the house when I came in the house from the door. I love you. Why he loved me. All the many ways.
Wow.
It was like 100 stickies all over the house. You know, like,
and that immediately sets the atmosphere. Yeah.
He was trying that to was get free. Some.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, she, that last note she already gave to me. That's
the first was done.
They had to do much.
The kids running around. Mom, here go another one.
Yeah, they were so excited. Right. So excited. They didn't even know that they was on daddy's seat. They were cheering. Yeah. Go, daddy! Yeah.
Mom, where you at, girls?
Come back later. Yeah.
But those are the things that we gotta do to keep the fire burning, keep it going. And so I just believe that it's important that my relationship can continue to go higher.
Okay.
Can continue to just move, you know what I mean, and go to, you know, just different levels. Mm-hmm. I began to say this Sunday, and the Lord was showing me there's areas in my wife I still haven't even got to yet.
Mm.
There's so many dynamics and that God created. I'm just still scratching the surface. You know what I mean? I got to spend time with this woman right here to know all that God has put inside of her and still ain't scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just at a level. There's more inside that she can do. She don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it is my job to get that out of her. So, but I need time.
Amen.
I need time and I need time with her. I need time away from her to just dissecting her. Mm-hmm. It's more into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning. I'm learning how to just go to that deep surface of her, knowing her, her body, her language, her hair, everything. I want to know everything. I want to know everything about her. For God to make something that wonderful,
it's just
for me to lay down with. No, it's so many levels and stuff. I want to, man, it's good. Deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many. Y'all can't even go. It's so many different levels inside of this woman. Mm. Then I'm actually seeing you just can't get this naturally. God got to show it.
He's got to show. But it's funny.
Reveal it to you.
Because you could cook me a good meal, a lasagna, and I'm like, and I could stand there and say, I want every single ingredient. Same thing for your wife. Oh, wow. I want every single ingredient. Yes. Got everything that you put in her to make her who she is. So that's good.
It is our job as a man to develop everything that's inside of her to come out.
Mm-hmm.
To give her the freedom to be.
It's my job to get. It's my job. And so the first 5 years of my marriage, I don't know what I was doing. I'm behind the eight ball. You know, I'm behind. And I want to know what God created.
But it looks like from where sitting that God restored those 5 years to you.
Yeah,
and then some.
Oh, amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he restored them to you.
Yes.
He restored and more. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I'm happy. I'm totally happy with me. I'm totally happy with her. I'm totally happy with all God is doing. And we're the example.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We're the example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody can be the example. If you're putting out examples.
We need more examples.
I was just going to say that you're, to me, I see that your ministry is not just, you'll have to train up soldiers because y'all will be global. So you're going to have to train up soldiers to be able to handle, okay, you handle this area because y'all are global.
Amen.
Yeah. And I thank you for, again, being so transparent and being so willing to, pour into other couples.
Amen.
Because even I know like every couple has been through something. You know, I feel like me and Corey have definitely come out of our valley place, but we're still learning.
Amen.
You know, that's so right. It's like every couple you talk to, you learn something, you know, from. And I thank
and
you for
so
y'all are really, like I said, I've known Tanisha, and then I felt like I knew you forever.
Yeah.
When I met you, it
everybody
was like,
feel that way
you
with him. When right. they meet him, like you know him forever.
Like your home, like a refuge.
Yeah, yes. How you doing?
You
Tanisha's husband. I'm saying that's why I can't. That's why I had to be delivered.
Right, because if they said Tanisha's husband,
he would somebody. That's why God knew what he was doing. You know what I mean? He
everybody knows Tanisha,
and everybody, you know, when I go play, you know, they look at me. They, I know you. You know what I mean? So it's wonderful. It really is. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to
free.
But free.
I know how he feels at church. I don't think people do it to be smart women. Hey, Mrs. Corey. And I would say that Corey is not my last name. Mrs. Faison. Now you Mrs. Corey. Then you got to oh, that's because you don't have a mister. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know where it's coming from. God has delivered.
But one thing I could say is through the ministry, God has allowed us to create a platform to where people could tell their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And get total healing, because
yes,
we can't go to the, we can't become global if the ones inside are still broken. So for the ministry to really to still develop is that we got to deal with the leaders where they at and where in their brokenness, so they can be all that God called them to be. And so that's when we produce, that's when we reproduce, that's when we can really blast off. Just so right now, these first 3 years, we're just capturing men and women, teaching them how God called them to be, how to work on their marriage, all work on children. I mean, it is not the easiest thing. But when you know that you're called to do this,
right,
you know this is your ministry. So now it's work on patience. Now we have patience with each other. Now we got to learn how to be patient with other people.
Amen.
Because
they're not there yet. You don't know the layers, the stuff they've been going through.
Yes.
You don't know the ministry they came out of. You don't know all those.
So okay. Okay.
You don't know all the manipulation that's been going on.
Okay.
The con artists.
Yes.
All those things that's going on.
It's like a relationship. You have to build trust.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's something
when people gotta trust you, you know?
It's like we're on trial.
Wow, like y'all are on trial.
We are.
Because of somebody's pet. Yeah, okay.
When people come into the ministry, we're on trial. Because a lot of people have been church hurt.
Yeah.
But they love God, you know, and we're young. Yeah. These young folk won't talk about. You know,
you're right.
So, and we're out of the box ministry.
Okay.
We're not non-traditional.
Not traditional, right. Okay.
But we are powerful.
You're not traditional, but your relationship.
Relationship.
Absolutely.
I don't want no tradition. I don't want no religion.
I say this
relationship.
You know, to say, you know, I encourage everything that you guys are doing. This is
awesome.
Incredible. And so, you know, yeah, just like you see global, I see TV.
Amen.
Wow. I received that.
And, you know, I don't know if you desire talk shows, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, this is.
I'm about to throw my phone at
this
you.
This is totally incredible. And you continue to put God first and continue to allow. God will bring dynamic people to help produce this thing. You just keep doing what you're doing. When I first started, we was in a hotel believing God.
I remember.
Believing God for this, where we at today. We had no chairs. We had nothing. And God wakes me up and tell me, you're about the chairs, boom, we get them. Then we, because of, he blessed based on faithfulness.
Yes.
Just be faithful to what you got. Use what you got.
Okay.
We'll look at this moment right here and say, wow, remember where I started. He honors that.
Okay.
Then somebody give us these chairs for $1. Wow. 50 of them.
For $1.
Well, look where we're at. Look, so God honors faithfulness. So keep doing what you're doing. We love you. Anything we can do to help, it's on.
Wow, I appreciate that. Thank you for that word of encouragement. You definitely encouraged me in that. And I said I was going to throw my phone because God amazes me when I prayed about things that I haven't even told Corey about, or I've actually said out loud things that I never would allow myself to say. Other people would say, I see you doing this. And I would say, nah. And then last week I spoke something to God, I do want to do X, Y, and Z. And so I thank you for, you let me know God heard me, because he didn't answer me right back. I just off the, you know, talk to him. So he confirms his words. I thank y'all for that. To my listeners, I know that you have enjoyed Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha as much as I have. And it's funny because I was all excited with my title. So I text Tanisha the title. So I had Lady Elect. So she texts back, that's beautiful. It's Lady Elite, right? Or it's Elite.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, she got me. But then I told her, no, that just means that you are the elected elite. You know, so many people, anybody can sign up to be in the running, but it's only those that get elected get the office. So you have been elected.
Amen.
And so I appreciate you. I just want to be able to, when you do your women's things, just let me introduce you. I'll just do a real quick introduction. You know, just let me call me to introduce you. You know, I can do that, no problem. But I thank y'all again for your time. Like I said, I know y'all are busy. I do thank my husband, Corey, my producer, to the left, because he definitely rides with me. He drove down here. He knows I may be asleep going back. So I may not be good company, but I thank him for taking time out of his day. He could be doing so much more. And I want to thank y'all, my listeners, because y'all faithfully listen, and Pastor Billy, thank you for blessing me with the words to just stay faithful. Because so often, I've told Corey that my heart has been like, man, the listenership, it, you know, it's not where I think it needs to be. But you just told me to stay faithful. And I've been hearing God say, just keep going. Amen. So I thank you again for confirming that. Now, do you guys have anything coming up, like any events? And if not, though, please give the name of your church again for the listeners, and where people can reach you if they want specific women counseling, men mentorship, or couples counseling. So give me all your, give the listening audience all your socials and everything where they can reach you.
Okay. We're Love Oasis Ministries. We're located at 1279 Landis Avenue in Pittsgrove, New Jersey. You can reach us at loveoasisministries.com. We have a Facebook page.
No, loveoasisministries@gmail.com.
loveoasisministries@gmail.com. And then we have Facebook page. It's Billy D. Williams, Love Oasis Ministry. It's say both.
Okay.
And so you can message there. We have you can go to our website,
which is loveoasisministries.com.
loveoasisministries.com is our website. You can leave a prayer there, you know.
Wow, so you can just go on and leave a prayer, and yes, you guys will pray. Okay.
And a comment or whatever. If they need to reach us, they can go there also.
Okay, I'll make sure I publish that on my pages as well. That way people can see.
Hit us up on Messenger.
Yes.
That's the way you can get a hold of us.
Upcoming, we're doing the Thanksgiving giveaway for anyone that may need a basket. We're doing 50
turkey baskets,
dinners this
okay.
year. Last year we went to the hotels and fed those that were in there. We have
that's beautiful.
30 on the list now, so we got 20 more slots if anyone needs.
So they can email you if they need that. Now, do they need to be in town, or do they just have to have a way to get it? If
they have to come get it. They don't have to be in town, but they have to them out on November 18th.
Okay, so say if they were to get selected or on the list, and they just would need to find, well, okay.
Come, yes, to the church on the 18th.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow, that is beautiful. Y'all are really y'all are really being ministry, you know, and doing ministry, so we thank y'all for that. And listeners, y'all know by now, hopefully, where to find me. But if not, for my new listeners, and I have to shout out Japan. Other than my daughter going 2 weeks ago, I don't know nobody in Japan. And so I'm going through my numbers and I'm like, yo, Japan is really supporting.
Really?
So I just want to shout. And I've been meaning to do that every week. Yes, you're for the Navy. Yes. Your daughter's there, right? That's right, because I'm supposed to let y'all know where she is. So that way maybe they could connect. Up. Yeah. So I just want to shout out Japan because they have been telling you, I was showing Corey, I'm like, wow. And this is before she got there. So Ariel, if you're listening, you better be listening to your mom. I'm going to need you to spread the word. So again, listeners, you can find me on Facebook at Tales from a Butterfly, on Instagram at TS Faison, and on Twitter at TS Faison. And guys, I want you to remember, no matter what you face this week, whether as a single or as a married person, no matter what you go through this week, no matter what valley that you've been in that you feel like God can't use you in the next season of your life, trust and believe that God has already provided a way of escape. All you need to do is run back to Him and get back into relationship with Him. He will direct your steps. And He will never let you down. I love you guys so much. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace.